Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay on Monday, January the 20th. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, hear from a Kent expert ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration. The founder of a Kent distillery explains why the budget has forced their restaurant to close. And we hear from the Gillingham boss after his first game in charge. But first, a Kent teenager is facing prison time after she threatened to kill her parents. Lucy joins me now with more on this for today's podcast. Lucy, this sounds terrifying for the mum and dad.
Absolutely. Elizabeth Dunn says she fears her 18-year-old daughter Zoe will eventually kill her if her violent behaviour isn't taken seriously. Zoe made the threats just a day after being able to walk free following assaults on her mum and dad. She'd been spared a custodial sentence on January 6th and turned up at her parents' home the following day throwing eggs at the property.
And what happened after that?
Well, Zoe was arrested and brought before magistrates the following day. A victim impact statement from her mum was read out. It said how she felt the court system had failed them and asked, "Will she kill me before the courts take her behaviour seriously?" She also described how her daughter's behaviour had left her with mental health issues. Throughout the hearing, Dunn, who's from Fairfield Road in Broadstairs, shouted abuse from the dock. Her dad also gave a statement saying he couldn't take much more of his daughter's behaviour.
What was decided in court?
Well, a probation officer said all options to improve Dunn's behaviour had so far failed, suggesting custody was the last remaining option. Her defence team made no application for bail. Because of the seriousness of the threats, Dunn was remanded in custody and the case has now been sent to Crown Court. She'll be sentenced at a later date.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A woman's due in court charged with attempted murder following a stabbing in Dover. The victim, who's in her 50s, was treated in hospital for back injuries after being attacked while walking along Biggin Street on Friday night. A 47-year-old was arrested after being restrained by security staff at a nearby pub. A man has been arrested on suspicion of trying to rob a shop in Dartford with a BB gun. Nicholas Tapp is accused of walking into the store on Victoria Road last Sunday and trying to take alcohol before confronting a staff member. The 44-year-old, who lives in Lowfield Street in the town, has been charged with robbery offences and being in possession of an imitation firearm. A man's been sent to prison for 6 years after attempting to abuse a child he'd met online. 33-year-old Jaron Cadderman from Maidenhead had arranged to meet the child in Gravesend. Kent Police's online investigation team intercepted Cadderman last October. He's been handed a 15-year sexual harm prevention order. Two men who attempted to steal expensive designer handbags from Bluewater have been ordered to do unpaid work. The pair, who are currently waiting to have asylum claims processed, were spotted in John Lewis at the centre in December. A judge has placed the 29 and 33-year-olds on community orders. Now, ahead of Donald Trump's inauguration today, we've been hearing what his second presidency could mean for us here in Kent. Trump will be sworn into office, becoming the 47th president of the United States. Experts say he's likely to sign a lot of executive orders in the coming days. Kate's been speaking to Dr. Andrew Rowe, who's a senior lecturer in American politics at the University of Kent.
Trump's talked about putting tariffs of 10 to 20% on all imports to the United States. That is going to make foreign goods in the United States more expensive compared to domestically produced goods. And so, yes, it could have a big effect on our local businesses and our national businesses that trade with the United States.
And what would be some further options for the UK as a nation? Would we be then forced to maybe trade elsewhere? Would that sort of force us to develop international relationships with other places maybe we've not explored before?
Well, I mean, that's not necessarily easy to do. The British government post-Brexit has found that striking trade deals with foreign countries is actually very, very difficult. Yes, I'm sure our domestic producers would look to other markets for their products, but so will everybody else. It's not easy to find alternative markets. So it's going to be a very difficult time. What might happen in addition to that is the British government responds to Trump tariffs by putting further tariffs on exports of American goods into the United Kingdom. And this can very quickly descend into a trade war if everybody starts doing this. then, this disables international trade. It makes goods more expensive. We lose economies of scale. It would likely push up inflation in our country as well, because imported goods will become more expensive. So trade wars can be very dangerous. Donald Trump once said that trade wars were great, that they were easy to win. Most economists completely disagree with that sentiment.
Donald Trump will be aware of those dangers, though. He'll be quite conscious of the risks of going into a trade war. Do you think that he really will come down as hard as he says that he will?
No, not necessarily. I mean, you've got to distinguish between what Trump says he will do and what he actually does. Yes, his words matter as president of the United States, but actions matter more. Now, Trump doesn't have like a fully formed, consistent political ideology, but he has instincts. And one of the instincts that he seems to have is that tariffs work. I mean, I say most economists disagree, but this is one of the things that he seems to hold quite dear, is that tariffs work. On the other hand, though, he also uses the threat of tariffs to get what he wants. So there's this sort of dual strategy going on. Yes, he believes that tariffs work, but he's also prepared to use them as like a battering ram to force others to do the things he wants. So, for example, during his first term, he threatened to put tariffs on Mexico, starting at 5% and potentially rising to 25% if Mexico didn't crack down on illegal immigration from its territory into the United States. Now, in the end, Trump never actually imposed those tariffs. They never came into effect, but he was using them to force Mexico to do something he wanted them to do. So there's this, as I said, this dual strategy. One, he believes in them, but he also uses them as like an economic or political weapon.
Kent Online reports.
This is one of our most read stories today. A West Kent restaurant could lose its licence after five illegal workers were found hiding in a freezer and loft. San Chinese in Hawkhurst was visited by immigration officers in March and November last year. The owner admitted he didn't complete any employment checks. The eatery has been fined £135,000. Police and a council team have raised concerns about a shop being given permission to sell alcohol because of crime in the area. The Royal Supermarket in Balmoral Road in Gillingham has applied for a licence. Officers say the area is already a hotspot for alcohol-related offences and disorder. The application will be considered tomorrow. Now, a pub owner's been describing the terrifying moment he fell into a utility trench with live power cables in Margate. It happened as David Gorton was leaving his home on the High Street earlier this month. He was knocked unconscious and spent an hour in the trench before being rescued by firefighters. UK Power Networks say they're investigating. Now, from today, if you're driving around Medway, you could be fined for breaking traffic rules at 17 locations across the towns. AMPR cameras have been installed to catch motorists who do things like stopping in a yellow box junction or doing an illegal turn. Hotspots include Chatham High Street and Station Road in Strood. Powers have been passed from the police to the local authority. Councillor Alex Patterson has been chatting to Kate.
These 17 sites themselves, the cameras are new, the offences are not new. There's nothing illegal today that wasn't illegal yesterday. So they're enforcing existing restrictions, whether that's no entry signs, no right turn regulations, and I think quite important for traffic flow, enforcing some of the yellow box restrictions on junctions. So altogether, as a package, it's introducing enforcement of things that perhaps people have got away with over a period of time because they previously relied purely on police enforcement. If you made the right turn at the wrong location, provided that there were no police officers nearby, you probably got away with it. And I think that's quite frustrating for drivers. Certainly for me as a driver in Medway, seeing things not being enforced, rules that the rest of us follow, that some people get away with. I think this is a really positive step in terms of making the roads fairer, enforcement of regulations fairer, but also making traffic flow that little bit better. These are the selfish drivers that cause problems, that block junctions, that don't really care about other motorists and the rule of the road. And at these 17 new locations from today, their days are numbered.
And how are these locations chosen? Have there been reports of people breaking the rules in these areas specifically?
I think if anyone goes onto Medway Council's website and looks at the specific list of these 17 locations, anyone like me who knows Medway's roads well will nod along and understand exactly why these locations have been chosen. But yes, they are areas of congestion. We do constant monitoring of traffic flows at various sites across Medway. We have metrics on journey times on key routes. So all of that information is taken into consideration by officers when they draw up the key locations where we're going to target these cameras. These are 17 new sites. There's already some existing sites that have been enforced. There's lots of things that we've done, including red routes and school streets, which are also enforced by ANPR cameras. The other thing I would point out, though, is just that this is not automatic offences being sort of recorded by a robot. What happens is that the ANPR cameras pick up potential offences. They then send a clip which is reviewed by a human being. So we have a dedicated team who know the junctions that they are being asked to enforce, and will be able to analyse that information and make a fair decision. So people don't need to worry about a situation where maybe they're creeping forward into a space on the other side of a box junction. And as sometimes happens, somebody then from the outside lane cuts across and takes the space that you were driving into. That will all be recorded by the ANPR cameras. That will be available as part of the clip that can be reviewed. So people shouldn't worry about those sort of situations. There will be a human being that makes a decision. And if there is the need for a challenge, if people do think that the ticket has been issued unfairly, there is the opportunity to go back and look at that clip again.
Kent Online reports.
The recent budget has been blamed for the closure of a Medway restaurant within a distillery. Copper Rivet has been making gin since 2016 and opened the pump room in their converted Victorian building just over 4 years ago. Bosses at the site at Chatham Maritime say a hike in national insurance contributions and a rise in the minimum wage mean it's no longer financially viable. I've been chatting to Matthew Russell, who's one of the founders.
In short, it's purely down to a consequence of the increase in labour costs looking into next year, with the increase in national insurance contributions and the uplift in minimum wage and the consequences that that has.
I guess you have to look at balancing the books, and did it get to the point where those books just simply weren't going to balance anymore?
That's right. We're a fairly small operator here. We aim to give all of our customers the very best service that we could, and you know, we're devastated for our dedicated team, but the reality was that it was going to add somewhere in the region of £75,000 to our annual staff costs, and you know, that's just not going to, as you say, be we're not going to be able to balance the books with that additional cost.
That is a huge sum. When you first heard the budget and you heard what the Chancellor had announced, did you immediately think we're going to be in trouble here?
We immediately thought this is going to be a massive challenge for us. So obviously we've been looking at lots of ways that we can address that. But whether that's by attracting more customers, obviously in the current times, putting prices up is not really an option. Because people have less money in their pockets to spend in the first place. And we've looked at maybe running events doing more functions. But the reality is that in order to completely, I think the government used rocket boosters as a common expression that they're using at the moment, for us to effectively change a business and put a rocket booster under it. And it takes time because we need to advertise that. We need to get bookings for bigger events, et cetera, et cetera. And all that time, you know, we would be suffering the costs of the extra taxes.
Do you fear for a lot of other businesses that are trying to keep going at the moment? Do you think we'll see quite a few go because of this?
I do. I do. I feel for everybody that's running a business in the hospitality sector. In fact, we've spoken to one or two, you know, ahead of us making the announcements to see if, you know, there's some way that we can share costs and whether they can perhaps come in and operate on a part-time basis here. And everybody is struggling.
Governments say the tax hike will help fund public services like education and health. The people behind iconic buildings, including Folkestone's F51 skate park and Rocksalt restaurant, have been drafted in to design homes near Sandwich. Plans have been put in for 9 properties on a former paddock off Lower Street in Eastry. Architect firm Holloway say if approved, the properties will be in keeping with the village's character. It's emerged plans for a huge housing development near Maidstone has already cost taxpayers millions of pounds before a brick has even been laid. 5,000 properties are due to be built as part of the Heathlands project in Lenham. Council papers have revealed the cost of securing the site and outline planning permission is likely to reach £8 million. Authority bosses insist they will make the money back. And a Sheppey man who refused to demolish an outbuilding in his garden has been ordered to pay £23,000. Haig Squire didn't have planning permission for the structure in Augustine Road. The 47-year-old's been fined and told to pay costs 7 years after first being alerted to it. He faces prison if he doesn't pay.
Kent Online News.
Now, police are investigating after £500 was stolen from a 90-year-old woman in Folkestone. Maria Lenko had withdrawn the cash from her bank and put it in a zip-up pocket in her trolley. She visited Nationwide on Sandgate Road and is convinced another customer followed her out. Maria's been explaining to the podcast exactly what happened.
I cashed £500, which the cashier, I was going to put it into my purse, and she said to me, no, I'll put it in an envelope. So she gave it to me in an envelope, which I couldn't fit in my purse, so I put it into the pouch on my trolley, unzipped it, put it in, and then went out of the bank. There was somebody there who wanted me to get a paper for a friend, so I went down to Smith's, bought the mail, which I asked someone to give me, and then came back, walked round by what used to be Barclays Bank, and somebody said to me, you've dropped money on the floor, on the ground. I said, no, I don't think I have. They said, oh, yes, you have. And they bent down to pick it up, and I faced them. Meanwhile, my trolley was behind me. So that must have been when they unzipped the pocket on my trolley and took the money out. Because when I came home afterwards, after having lunch at Gurkha House with friends, I went to get my money out and it was gone.
When you opened the pouch on your bag and you noticed the money was missing, how did that make you feel originally?
Well, I was just shocked. And I realised instantly, I thought, oh, I know, it was a scam. I realised it must have been when the man said to me, you've dropped your money on the floor. And I realised I turned towards him and there was obviously somebody behind me.
Okay.
And my trolley was at the side behind me.
And you wear a badge all the time that says you're visually impaired?
Yes.
And
two on my trolley, one on my coat, whatever I'm wearing, I have a badge.
And do you think this is why they targeted you?
Oh, yes. Yes, and because I'm old, I suppose. And it was clever, really. I think they could maybe do it to younger people. But they'd seen how much money I'd taken. They knew I had a substantial sum in my pocket.
And how does this change the way you approach leaving the house now and going on your own? Because do you like to be independent?
I do. But all my friends and family now say to me, you never go and get money on your own. If you need money, you must always go with somebody. So that'll be my rule from now on. I'll never go. Which means, of course, I become less independent.
And you don't want that?
Not really.
Police say they're reviewing CCTV from the area. Plans have been put in to convert an abandoned village pub near Dartford into a car showroom. The Papermaker's Arms in Hawley closed in April 2022. Now an application's been submitted to change the use of the building. A decision's expected by early March. Plans meantime to transform a derelict building in Folkestone have been met with concerns of a lack of privacy. Residents in Broadmead Road say the idea to build new flats flats would let people see straight into each other's properties. However, developers argue transforming the disused office block would enhance the area. And you're being asked what you think about plans for the site of a disused youth and leisure centre near Dover. The County Council's looking at selling off the land on Accolt Road in Aylsham 10 years after a fire ripped through the old vacant building there. Some neighbours fear it'll be turned into housing, a consultation that closes in a month.
Kent Online Sports.
Football first up, and Gillingham have dropped to 16th in League Two following a disappointing start in charge for new manager John Coleman. They were beaten 1-0 by Doncaster Rovers at Priestfield on Saturday. The boss spoke to the media following the match.
Well, in any walk of life, there's got to be an element that you can fail if you're doing anything. Otherwise, success means nothing. Today we failed today because we failed to win, or we lost. It wasn't for the lack of trying. I thought the atmosphere, the crowd generated as well in the first half, as well as our players. I thought we were fantastic for the first 25 minutes. So much so that they feigned an injury to... I presume they feigned an injury to get a breather, to get more information on, because we were suffocating them. And that happens, you know, when I'm not knocking their manager for that, or I'm not knocking their players for that. That happens. Unfortunately, we didn't score in that period. And I think that the big problem that we've got, and historically has played Gillingham for 2 years, is the lack of goals. And for all that pressure, did we make enough chances? Probably not.
Next up is a trip to Tranmere Rovers next weekend. On to tennis, and Kent's Emma Raducanu is out of the Australian Open after losing to Iga Świątek in straight sets in Melbourne. The 6-1, 6-love third round defeat is the joint heaviest of Raducanu's career. She says she can learn from it.
The scoreline was obviously quite harsh, but I feel like I look back and know exactly what I need to do, and I take it as feedback, and I'm very clear on kind of what happened out there.
And work started to turn a derelict golf driving range in Swanley into a rugby ground. The Olympic Centre on Beechenlea Lane hasn't been used for around 7 years. A new pitch has been created along with changing rooms, as Swanley Rugby Club are due to make the site their permanent home. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium as well. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.